Christian Connection for International Health organizes an annual conference, which is usually in June in the Washington area. This year, the theme of our conference focused on lifestyles, and so we benefited a lot from various Adventist speakers who have sort of more than any other church that I know of focused on healthy living. So much so that several years ago, the World Health Organization asked the Adventist Church to collaborate with them in organizing a conference on health and lifestyles. It's very impressive. So thank you, Ron, for sharing that very forward-looking approach to health, including family planning, that the Adventist Church uses in its programs. Our next speaker is Dr. Douglas Huber. Douglas and I have been colleagues back in the, I don't know whether I even want to think about it, 1970s, I guess.
Wasn't it the 40s?
Yeah. We were both colleagues in the USAID Population Office. He wised up faster than I did and left USAID and worked for other organizations, and I stuck around USAID for a quarter of a century. Douglas has worked for a number of organizations, several of them funded by USAID, involved in various aspects of reproductive health and family planning. Most recently, from which he's, I guess you could say, retired, is Management Sciences for Health. He served on the CCIH board, and he's now, in many ways, the leader of much of the family planning work that CCIH is involved in. And one of the exciting things that I heard him present on some time ago is work that he provided technical support for working with through Muslim communities in Afghanistan, working with religious leaders there. And so we wanted him to share that experience in a Muslim setting. So Douglas.
Thank you, Ray. And this work was conducted through Management Sciences for Health and supported by the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, which pertains to some of the more innovative aspects of the work that we were able to do that if I'd been working under a USAID-supported grant, we probably wouldn't have had the courage to do, nor gotten permission to do. And I have nothing to disclose about this project, nor anything else at the moment. So why a pilot project on birth spacing? And this goes back a few years to 2004, 2006, when Afghanistan had just come out of 23 years of warfare. And as we heard from some of the other previous presentations in the previous session, the government was developing a community-based approach to health services, which was fairly comprehensive, that included child health, immunizations, and yes, family planning. Building on top of that project, we wanted to see whether there was special things one could do that might make even more of a difference to, quote, accelerate the uptake of family planning in the context of the community health services there. So knowing that maternal health is extremely high in Afghanistan, and looking for the elements of success for family planning in this rural Afghan setting. And then also wanting to do advocacy for contraceptive use, both with the community as well as religious leaders and also the health professionals. These were some of the major thrusts that we had to do. And I'm going to focus primarily on the faith-based and the mullahs in this, even though there's lots to discuss about this innovative project, and if anyone wants, there's copies of the published article in the WHO bulletin. There's also copies of the slides on the chair at the door. This quote: "The fastest, easiest, cheapest way to prevent maternal deaths is with contraception." Came from a prominent Afghan OBGYN, based on the fact that Afghanistan had the perhaps the highest maternal mortality rate in the world. Of these 13 girls about two you'd expect to die in childbirth. So that was a remarkable starting point, and there were some elements that Afghans themselves recognized the essence of this. As Adrian nicely pointed out, and this is a simple way of re-expressing it, the birth spacing message, waiting 2 years before you try to get pregnant again for a woman, was kind of key. We put it in a little different way, perhaps, but that this was understood, and that family planning was required for at least 18 months out of this two-year interval during breastfeeding in order to protect the woman from pregnancy, and yes, to protect the baby from being taken off the breast prematurely, because a new pregnancy will stop breastfeeding quite rapidly. So 3 years birth spacing was important for both maternal and child health. There were messages in the Holy Quran that the local mullahs in rural areas that didn't have a high level of training all knew that there were sections of the Quran, and for those of you who may be Islamic, pardon me if this translation or interpretation is not perfectly correct. But basically, the Prophet Muhammad taught that children deserve 2 full years of breastfeeding. So this was fairly consistent, very consistent, with what mullahs already knew. And that birth spacing alone was part of it, but also we needed to do a lot of information in terms of correcting misconceptions about contraceptive methods. So that much of the challenge wasn't to convince that there was a basis in conservative Islam and these communities. It was more to prevent and correct some of the misconceptions that we've heard from other countries. Injectables cause infertility. So we wouldn't give them to a woman unless she was at least 35 and had at least 4 children. That was what we heard over and over again from the health providers. So it was no surprise that people in the community said, we don't think we want our women to get infertile, you know, so we don't want these injectable contraceptives. This quote was made to me by a gentleman, a mullah in the Pashtun area, and Pashtuns traditionally are the more conservative ethnic groups in Afghanistan, that the Prophet Muhammad taught the importance of birth spacing 1,400 years before science documented these things. As I was explaining what Adrian so nicely illustrated, how effective that can be, he just interrupted me and said this. And I found myself sitting there next to him on the floor, as we did in Afghanistan, a little dumbfounded, frankly, and saying, well, yes, I guess that's right. He did know that 1,400 years ago. And here, in fact, is this particular mullah sitting with me as we're going over some of the community health charts, which were used by each of the community health workers to document the houses they'd visited, and not only immunizations and pregnancy status, but also the contraceptive method that the woman was using house by house. And we reviewed these to get accurate data, and everything was done with supervision by the community leaders. The Shura, ECE, and a prominent mullahs like this were very much a part of the community leadership. So they were not only religious leaders, they were community leaders in their own right. Another reason for a community-based effort, this is the same area around Farza, just north of Kabul, Pashtun area. And for a woman to trek down the hill 2 hours to get to a clinic to get her injectable contraceptive was not on. And this isn't a particularly high region. The high mountains in the background, those are not clouds. Those are the peaks where the snow is 4 to 6 feet deep rather than just a foot or so in the regions that we could still get to. This doesn't seem to want to advance for some reason. Let me try this. Okay, that works. So this was the first initiative in which community health workers were allowed to give the first injection of injectable contraceptives. We also used simple materials, such as written materials, that corrected some of these misconceptions. Husbands, as well as wives, needed to know that they weren't going to be infertile. The same reasons that health workers were opposed to injectables was the same that very often husbands were opposed. So this kind of established information was very important there. Condom pictorial instructions were dodgy in this area. In one Shia area, one could use them, but only with the individuals who were being taught. Again, cultural sensitivity. So here's the results of what happened in these in the three pilot areas where we initiated these efforts. And I'm just going to go through, this is the only data slide, so I'm going to go through it just a little bit. This 16 to 26 point increase in contraceptive prevalence rate over 2 years was with the larger MSH-USAID supported project that covered about a third of the country, about 8.5 million population. So 10 points increase in contraceptive prevalence rate is very good over 2 years. But these are the changes we saw in a matter of 8 months in these three pilot areas. This is actually the Pashtun area here that went from 9 to 34, 20 to 44, 24 to 51. Almost we almost couldn't believe this, and we needed to do verification efforts going to the community and documenting the contraceptive use rate was actually real. So in terms of powerful results, this was dramatic. This is a group of mullahs in one of the project areas over near the Iranian border who said, well, you know, nobody ever told us about these things. And we didn't even know the community health worker could provide family planning. So we found, going with different groups, there was real acceptance. And these are some examples of midwives providing as well as community health workers. I think this particular woman is a midwife, but female community health workers could give the injections. And this handsome fellow here is actually a mullah himself demonstrating injectable contraceptives. He was a community health worker as well as a teacher, and the other three fellows were too. In that region, men could give injectables. Some religious leaders pointed out their own understanding of the scriptures in the holy text, and having examined these issues, and the prophet Muhammad stated to his followers who were using a method called we call withdrawal. It's azl in Arabic, and he gave permission for that. And their logic was that if contraceptive pills were available, then he would have said those were okay too. So that there was consistency in the messages. You know, he didn't approve of cell phones either at the time, although he probably wouldn't be opposed. And that was some of the logic used. So correcting misinformation was important for religious leaders as well as others. Simple brochures with information helped dramatically to correct this information for both the community as well as the community health workers. And we used this quote, the one that I used, translated into Dari, on the messages for contraceptive use. And when my colleague Nika Saidi suggested we do this, I said, Nika, I don't think we can do that. Write verse from the Holy Quran on the contraceptive message for how to use the pill and injection. She says, no, I've already approved it with mullahs. They said it would be okay. Their only concern was that since it was Holy Scripture, it might fall in the dirt, you know, and be abused. But people actually kept them because it had a text from the Holy Quran and reinforced the message from that quote that I showed you earlier. So religious leaders support verse spacing. It's very key for them to get the information. And this wasn't a one-off kind of simple activity. There was fairly in-depth discussion with the 37 mullahs in the project areas that we had. Some were not so keen on this at the beginning, but with discussion, none of them ultimately objected, and many of them, about half of them, including that gentleman sitting next to me, were active advocates saying, we will teach these messages during Friday prayers. And if you want to reach men, which is key, particularly in Afghanistan and very many other places, that's the place you do it. So husbands were vitally important in terms of moving the acceptance of family planning in these communities, and the mullahs were very prominent in doing that. Some of them also advocated on national television, something, again, that we hadn't really expected. What happened after this? The government did decide this was the best practice based on the kind of evidence that I showed you there. The Minister of Health was holding this up on television saying, see what Afghanistan can do? And of course, a pilot project is not a national program, but it showed the potential for what could be done. So USAID and other donors ended up, and now it's a nationwide initiative in terms of support. And there's a large number of Islamic leaders who have been brought together on a much larger basis now. And my understanding from colleagues who are still working there, that they have basically come to the same conclusions as supporting this for as a matter of a health intervention. So we were very pleased with those results. And I think I've used up all my time, so just move on to the next one.